AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met in Tel Aviv with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today, pushing to finalize a ceasefire deal.
The State Department said Blinken emphasized to Netanyahu it is Hamas standing in the way of a ceasefire. He also discussed improving the delivery of humanitarian aid to Gaza. Blinken again conveyed the U.S. opposition to a major military operation by Israel into Rafah. This comes after Netanyahu said Tuesday they will enter Rafah with or without a deal to release hostages.
ABC's Karen Travers. Pro-Palestinian protests reaching new levels of unrest across college campuses at the University of Wisconsin-Madison today. Police in riot gear began clearing out campus protesters. Classes at UCLA in Los Angeles canceled today due to clashes between demonstrators and police. And at Columbia University, New York police made more than 100 arrests as officers cleared a hall occupied by protesters. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump campaigns in Wisconsin today. He's using an off day in his New York hush money trial to stump in Waukesha. Trump says the trial is just a ploy to keep him on the sidelines.
That's exactly what they want. They don't want me on the campaign trail. But it's a real disgrace, and the whole world is watching. It's a disgrace to New York.
Trump is accused of falsifying business records to cover up payments to a porn star. A new poll finds the race for Wisconsin's presidential votes is tight. The Emerson College survey finds 47% of registered voters support Donald Trump, while 45% back President Biden when the two go head-to-head. With third-party candidates, Trump comes out ahead 45-40. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WMDX Madison. Police in riot gear have moved in on protesters at the UW-Madison campus. Police started arresting protesters and escorting them off Library Mall after 8 this morning. The Journal Sentinel reports at least one professor was seen pinned to the ground. The standoff between protesters and college administrators is over tents the demonstrators have put up. Hundreds of protesters, mostly students, are calling on the UW to cut ties to Israel. Wisconsin's Teacher of the Year is from Madison. Brian Councilman has taught in Madison for 20 years, the last 7 at Shabazz City High School. He's also the project-based learning coordinator at Shabazz. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction is recognizing Councilman's project-based teaching and helping students learn real-world concepts. He earned the Madison School District's Teacher of the Year Award in 2017. And that's what you need to know. This is WMDX News.
The Brewers get into a brawl. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Rays 8-2, but it wasn't easy. Top of the eighth, Tampa Bay's Jose Siri at the plate as both benches cleared for a fight on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
On the ground, first base, Hoskins flips to Uribe. One up, one down, Siri retired. Siri exchanging some words, and here we go. Oh boy, that's not what you want to see. Bullpen's empty, Abner Uribe.
Now, early in the game, Brewers pitcher Freddy Peralta ejected, along with manager Pat Murphy, thrown out for a second night in a row.
I'm not sure what went on with all that. I really am not. You know, all I can say is I'm glad nobody got seriously hurt.
NBA, the Bucks overcome some obstacles and beat the Pacers 115-92 to stay alive, 3-2. Doc Rivers on the win.
I did walk off the floor and I said, we're coming tonight. And I told our coaches that. I said, I don't know if we're going to win, but we're coming to play and win tonight. You can feel it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Windy today, with gusts whipping up to 35 miles per hour under mostly sunny skies. High temperatures will flirt with 70 degrees and by tomorrow drop to the upper 60s. This as showers and thunderstorms strike tomorrow morning and linger throughout the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 65.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Devil's Advocates. Donald Trump in Waukesha. Crudy will be there. He'll bring you the MAGA on the street. Everything you need to know. Devil's Advocates. Tune in.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 3 to 6.
Mad Radio, WMDX. Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbush Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbush.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It is Wednesday, May 1st, 2024, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer, coming to you on a Wednesday here. Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, will join us in a moment, and we're expecting Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, to join us this hour as well. But want to start off the broadcast, this in particular for our WMDX listeners in Madison, Wisconsin, or Dane County, I should say, as well. According to Channel 3000 here locally and other reporters now reporting that an active shooter threat has led to the schools in the Mount Horeb School District to implement a full lockdown earlier today. According to the Mount Horeb Area School District, the threat was neutralized outside the middle school. Let me say that again. According to Mount Horeb Area School District, the threat was neutralized outside the middle school. In a message to the district's Facebook page, it told parents to stay away from the school campuses. So this all unfolding in the last 15 or 20 minutes ago. Again, for our listeners in Madison area on WMDX and elsewhere, an active shooter threat at the Mount Horeb School District, according to school officials, their words, has been neutralized outside the middle school. Still, though, parents and others are asked to stay away from the Mount Horeb School District at this time. Our thoughts, of course, are with all of those involved, and we will keep you abreast here at Civic Media as the afternoon progresses. Pat Kreitlow, not exactly the story one to lead with, but an active news day. I think it just goes once again to we just never know when our kids go to school, and it's a whole other thing, of course, a whole other discussion on gun violence, that sort of thing. But it appears that the threat, at least for now, in Mount Horeb here in Dane County, has been neutralized.
Yeah, thankfully so. And, you know, it just gets into, you know, police response. And clearly things were done right there, you know, compared to, say, you know, Uvalde and other, you know, sad situations in our past. I'm sure people will also talk about, you know, police response in other areas, right, such as the campuses around the country right now. But I would say, just to close the loop on the Mount Horeb thing, yeah, the police response, thank them for what they did. Mm-hmm. The problem is still the availability of the guns.
Yeah,
it's the guns.
Absolutely. Again, no word yet at this point. We don't want to assume there are casualties. It's simply what we know now for fact-based reporting is that the threat at the Mount Horeb School District of an active shooter has been neutralized. That is the words of the Mount Horeb School District. We don't know anything more than that other than to stay away from the location at this time, and we'll continue to update folks as we get more information. Pat, an active news day indeed. And I want to I want to get your take on this because I watched all of this unfold on WISC, the local CBS News affiliate here in Madison, over the course of 2 hours. I was on your program this morning for about 10 minutes between 7:50 and 8 o'clock. And on either side of that, I was watching. The best thing probably I could say about the local reporting is they allowed their cameras to just take in the entire scene over the course of 2 hours. We're talking about at the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus, Library Mall. It started on Monday. There were about two to 300 folks that were protesting on Library Mall. They set up an encampment of tents. As of yesterday, it was basically a picnic. I mean, there was no law enforcement presence around that anybody could see. The protesters were being very peaceful. And as of about 7 o'clock this morning, the University of Wisconsin-Madison administration, in conjunction with the University of Wisconsin Police Department, decided to enforce this state statute, this state law that forbids overnight camping on the grounds of a University of Wisconsin campus. And so the decision was made to go in. I watched this all myself over the course of 2 hours. The protesters, by and large, were peaceful. And by and large, law enforcement was also peaceful. The law enforcement went in. They removed the tents, all except for maybe one. When the tents were removed, law enforcement left. They left all the food, all the water, the tables, the signs. And in fact, Mark Levicott, the University of Wisconsin Police Department spokesman, said afterwards and in their statement that they encouraged students to stay and peacefully protest, as is their right. They were simply going in to remove the encampment. And watching this unfold, Pat, I'm not going to pick on reporters by name. I think people are doing the best they can. But I do think, and I want your take as a longtime journalist in Wisconsin, I think it speaks to the lack of experience to some degree in newsrooms, newsroom budgets being cut. When we have young reporters saying things like this morning, saying that, this is a direct quote, "It appears students are putting on gas masks. We don't know yet whether law enforcement will be using gas." I saw it with my own eyes. They were putting on a COVID mask. That's different than a gas. And it feels to me, Pat, ABC News reported earlier today that these protests have been going on for 2 weeks, quote unquote. And it feels like to me, Pat, this is a time where we need responsible, thoughtful journalism who reports the facts. And I just feel that many outlets missed the mark this morning.
I think so as well. Look, there is perhaps no greater challenge than reporting in the moment, which I know might sound counterintuitive to folks. Just tell them what you're seeing. But when you have to fill so much time, and there's always this pressure to fill time, and you start to vamp, and you start to speculate, and you start to describe things that maybe you haven't thoroughly looked into, it's such a different animal than the kind of reporting that watches something happen, asks some questions, takes a moment to think about it, writes a story, or delivers a story verbally, as the case may be. You can add perspective. You can add extra information. In the moment, you have to be so incredibly careful, despite the competitive pressures, despite the pressures of time, despite the pressures of, you know, any personal feelings on your behalf that this is the one that's going to win me a Peabody or an Emmy or whatever the case may be. You don't ever have the luxury to speculate. And so if that's, you know, what we saw today, then that again, to me, says one of our big problems in local journalism is that it is, and so often, except in the biggest markets, it's oftentimes where you're finding people who are inexperienced, who are not necessarily locals, and because the pay is so bad at the small local level, you're getting people without the experience, without the perspective that they need to tell a proper story, especially when it has to be done in the moment.
Another one of the things that various local Madison television stations were saying this morning is, you know, saying things like, this is a historic protest, will be remembered for years, and just carrying on. And I don't believe any of the current
group of folks that were reporting this morning were around in 2010, 2011 for the Act 10 protests, where there were 100,000 people at the state capitol. I was working in the building at the time. And again, important to remember, there was no major destruction or vandalism at the state capitol, despite being 100,000 protesters. And you and I, Pat, I'm not quite that old. I don't think you are either. But during Vietnam, the major protests at UW-Madison, the Sterling Hall bombing, those were actual real protests that were historic. And I just don't think that ginning things up to try to get a news story is particularly productive.
Ginning things up is I think, the proper phrase here, or at least blowing out of proportion, which does not in any way, shape, or form say that there aren't strong feelings on one side or another for those who want to, you know, demonstrate for one group or for another group, for one nation or for another nation. You can have those passions. But when you set out to do something like a protest like this in such incendiary times, you really do open yourself up to having somebody that is on a more extreme side of the spectrum, on your side of the spectrum, but more extreme, come in, and that one bad apple, you know, who initiates, you know, say a violent act against the police that are there or something like that, it just takes everything away from your cause. And I always come back to, what is it that you want to accomplish? Now, you, whether you're in, you know, Madison or New York City or wherever, you're not going to solve this conflict.
Right.
You're here to call attention to what you feel are you know, very worthy points about injustices or tragedy or what have you. And anything that is done by people who are on the extreme side of your side of the aisle only takes away from that message. And you've really got to say, how do I message this most effectively? And right. I'm not sure, like in the case of, you know, in Columbia, that barricading themselves inside a building is necessarily the way to go.
I think you have a great point, Pat. Talking to Pat Kreitlow of Up North News, and the mayor, I believe, of New York made this point that they feel that some of these folks that broke in on the Columbus University campus and did this destruction and violence and quote-unquote took over one of the halls may have been led by people that weren't even students at Columbia. They're outside folks. And I want to make clear, as someone who lives in Madison, who's walked by what's happening here on campus, who watched the entire thing live for 2 hours, what's happening today in Madison is nothing close to what you're seeing on the national news at Columbia and USC. I can't see any major kind of types of destruction. The protesters, by and large, have been peaceful, and the law enforcement, by and large, has been measured in this. And it's just not the same as what we're seeing nationally, Pat.
No, it's not. And so to get back to your point about the media kind of blowing it out of proportion, it is because, in part, there's really not much else. We're kind of having a slow news week here.
Right.
You know, I mean, you've got Trump falling asleep in court, you know, but the legislature's not in session. The only thing happening in Congress is, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene's, you know, one singular attempt to try to oust Speaker Mike Johnson, which is not going to work. And so you see this conflict or this potential for conflict on a campus, and you want to talk about it over and over again as a media person. But then you look at the public opinion polls, or you talk to people in places like Chippewa Falls, and you realize the number of people who are really worked up and really want to see this on TV all the time is somewhere between 1% and 3%.
Right.
And they'd much, much rather you acknowledge what's happening and give it its due, but then get back to covering things that are more relevant to their lives. Again, not to take away from the protesters and their message. Acknowledge it. But it does not need to be 24/7 where you're all but egging on more conflict to happen in front of the cameras.
Yeah, I totally agree. We're going to Trigvi Olson from Lincoln Project is joining us. You want to stick around for one more segment, Pat?
Got time? Too bad. I'm here for you.
All right,
for
fantastic.
You got it.
Pat Kreitlow, Trigvi Olson, more. We are live on a Wednesday, May 1st, on the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety.
What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turned 26. Now, that might be okay for Eric Hovde. His businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower healthcare costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Lovell Show on a Monday, May 1st, now 20 past the hour of 12 noon. Want to update you on the breaking news story here in Dane County. We continue to follow. About a half an hour ago or so, the Mount Horeb School District, about 15 miles or so outside of the city of Madison here in Dane County, put out an alert that the school system was on lockdown. Subsequent releases from the school district say an active shooter has been, in their words, quote, neutralized, unquote, at the middle school. That is all we know right now. We don't want to speculate about anything else, but according to the Mount Horeb School District here in Dane County, the active shooter threat has been neutralized. They are still asking people not to come near the Mount Horeb School District buildings at this time. We'll continue to follow this throughout the rest of the day. Right now, joining us, Pat Kreitlow, from host of Up North News Radio from Lake Wissota here in Wisconsin, and senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Trigvi Olson, joining us from the nation's capital. Gentlemen, in the last segment, we talked about this, what happened at the Madison campus this morning, where law enforcement moved in, removed tents, encampments, as is per statute in Wisconsin, which makes overnight camping on UW campuses unlawful. And so, and I think it's important to note that some of the protest leaders on campus said to press that they in fact confirmed they met with Chancellor Mnuchin yesterday, and she gave them this deadline and said it would happen. Law enforcement then played recordings this morning, giving them a 10 or 15 minute heads up. And for those folks that didn't move out, they moved in with law enforcement. They took down the tents and whatnot. And there were around a dozen, 15 people arrested because they were trying to stop the law enforcement from taking down tents. But important, as I watched this entire thing myself live for 2 hours, there was no major, like, violent hitting of each other on either the protesters or the law enforcement side. There's one photo, video of a professor that has a spot of blood on his head and being taken away by police. But then there's a video, put it in context, that shows that he was the one pushing against the law enforcement. And you know, we don't know how he got injured. He kind of fell down, it appears. But we're talking about putting this in context and reporting the facts. Pat Kreitlow, I think from a political angle, you kind of spoke about this earlier, but just kind of to reiterate, I'm not sure that this is the best way to advance your cause by getting these situations. Pat, your mic is muted there. One more.
Who, me?
Yeah, oh, there you go.
Yeah, why else? How is the only other way I'm ever going to be quiet is if somebody if I push this button here for myself. Yeah, again, you know, when you put yourself in a position, and perhaps rightly so, you know, where in this case, law enforcement and university administration are trying to dislodge you from someplace, you know, you have a decision to make. And that is, you know, how do you want to get your message out? And yes, there are people who think perhaps the best way to call attention to this is to step over the line and, you know, maybe push back on police or, you know, take over a chancellor's office or whatever the case may be. Those are decisions that are made, and there are consequences that have to be paid for it. Does it bring more attention to the suffering in Gaza? That I don't really know, and I'm not here to pass judgment on that one way or another. I have tried to just stay away from, you know, the geopolitics there. Not that it's not important, but, you know, my voice would be just one in a million. I'd rather focus on what I know, which is about, again, getting your message across when you are faced with, you know, a situation that could lead to conflict. I again, would come back to what you said about, you know, 100,000 people protesting against what became Act 10. There was no violence. Right. There was no serious vandalism. There was nothing of the sort. The point was made, which also included, by the way, when they realized there was nothing more they could do, there was nothing more they could do. That's how a democracy works. Then you work like hell to eventually get Scott Walker out of there, eventually get new maps. But you know, it took years, but it also didn't leave anybody dead in the ground or, you know, their reputation besmirched because they, you know, set fire to something or anything like that.
Trivia Olson, you've worked on democracy projects around the world. You made a couple of great points to me this week. I'd like to share, have you share them with the audience on your thoughts on how to advance this message and what's the best way to do that.
Well, first of all, I mean, honestly, I'm glad the cops are rolling them up in these places. Second, I don't know if you guys saw the woman at Columbia University who was demanding that the university bring them food and water because they needed humanitarian aid.
Yeah, this is not a bank robbery.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
Give me a break. This has kind of set me off. I mean, I've worked with people around the world who are protesting, risking their lives over stolen elections and have been able to remain nonviolent in the process. These are a bunch of kids doing role playing. And quite frankly, you can peacefully protest. You should be able to peacefully protest. They could be peacefully protesting. But this idea we're out occupying buildings and all of this and that's somehow helping the Palestinians. And then simultaneously being unhappy with Joe Biden and say, I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden, which would put Donald Trump in office, who quite frankly would give Benjamin Netanyahu a blank check to do whatever he wants to the Palestinians,
right,
is just ridiculous. And quite frankly, I'm glad the cops are rolling them up. Cops are being incredibly generous. If they really wanted to be freedom fighters, they would be doing that in a place like Belarus, where I can tell you when the Oman come in, they're not treating them gently the way that the police are in Madison or in New York City. They'd be getting batons to the head. So this is just, to me, honestly, they're not helping the plight of Palestinians. And I would also point out, it is not mutually exclusive to say, I am outraged by what Hamas did in Israel, but that I'm concerned about the plight of the Palestinians and the way the Palestinians have been treated, not just recently, but over an extended period of time. You can hold both those views.
Pat Kreitler, about a minute and a half left.
I couldn't agree more. And again, it has less to do with, you know, what is being protested, where a lot of what we've been talking about here has been the conduct of it, because these are important issues.
Yes.
There are people who are very much invested in wanting to see peace, who want to end great tragedy, and who, by the way, want to influence voters here in the United States when it comes to things like picking a president and who controls Congress. And I feel like that's where our time is best spent, on, you know, the effective communication of passionate points of view, and to do so, you know, without bloodshed.
Yeah. Appreciate your time. You can hear Pat Kreitler every morning, Monday through Friday, Up North News Radio, 6 until 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network, also on the Civic Media app, and catch his more writings at the Courier Newsroom. Appreciate you, Pat. And we're going to see you on Friday. We're going back to Eau Claire. We're going to be at the Pablo Center. I just got confirmation we're going to be there for the premiere of When Rubber Hit the Road.
And with my old co-anchor, Judy Clark, who's going to be there as well, talking about Unirel. So we're getting the gang back together, Trigby.
That is really, really cool.
Yeah.
I was a huge Judy Clark fan back in the day.
Mm-hmm. We just
when I was in middle school and you were on TV.
Here we go again.
Here we go.
And by the way, I've got my own protest to do. Now I see that Freddie Peralta has been suspended 5 games.
Oh, my gosh.
I want justice for Freddie Peralta, the worst umpire move ever last night. What a show.
You won't they suspended him for 5 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible.
But what's up with the slap? I mean, honestly, punch him in the face if you're going to do it.
Well, Uribe's out for 6 games for that.
On the other side of Trivi Olson, your phone calls as well, 855-752-4842. Thanks, Pat. See you on Friday.
You bet.
Stay tuned on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
Plants in space. It could be the next frontier for production agriculture, and Wisconsin's involved. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening with the markets so far on a Wednesday. Simon Gilroy is a UW-Madison professor and botanist that's been working closely with NASA over the past decade to try to come up with answers on what it would take to grow plants, namely a food source, in space. And he said some of the work's already been happening.
The most prevalent plants which are grown at the moment that sort of fulfill those goals are leafy greens. But then there is a real psychological component of what's going on. So things like tomatoes have been grown. That's the last plants that we grew on the space station, because you get the fruits of tomatoes, super high nutrition, but also, I mean, they're just really good to eat. And having that psychological boost of fresh food, like from a tomato plant, turns out to be a really, really big thing for astronauts.
That's Dr. Simon Gilroy, a professor on the UW-Madison campus and a botanist himself. He said that one of the other great challenges they're trying to address, how do plants grow without gravity? Markets on the midday for a Wednesday. There's a lot of gravity in that marketplace. They're keeping the numbers down for corn and wheat, but beans a little different direction. That's up next. Just in time for the grilling season, Bavaria Sausage expanding their retail hours. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here, fresh off a visit to Bavaria Sausage at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Now open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. Those are the expanded days of operation, giving you wonderful opportunities to step in and get ready for your grilling supplies, like their always popular red lager beer brats. Take a look at the smoked bratwurst. Maybe you're looking at some of the pre-cooked bratwurst they've got available. Whatever you're looking for, they've got it ready for the grill. And check back often, because I'm really impressed with some of the new flavors that are being developed by Bavaria Sausage. Always with respect to the old world traditions, but also adding a new zing to some of our traditional favorites, like Landjagers. Start shopping now, BavariaSausage.com. So far on a Wednesday, we've got December corn basically unchanged at 469. November soybeans are up 5.5 at 1165. The July wheat, that's down a nickel, currently at 598 a bushel. The May Class 3 milk, 6 cents lower at 1832. The June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, down 9 at 1857. And July down 9, 1881 a hundredweight. Tomorrow they begin their next adventure as finalists for the Alice in Dairyland program. The 6 finalists will be headed to Door County to begin touring local agribusinesses about 7:45 tomorrow morning. Good luck, girls. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Windy today, with gusts whipping up to 35 miles per hour under mostly sunny skies. High temperatures will flirt with 70 degrees and by tomorrow drop to the upper 60s. This as showers and thunderstorms strike tomorrow morning and linger throughout the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WMDX website at mad.radio. Your news, just for the Madison area. I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road, plus IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, 11:33, J.R. Ratcliffe will be here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to talk all things sports and weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 11.
Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, May 1st, 2024. Mr. Zommer is on the board. Trigby Olson, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project, joining us as per usual on Wednesday, a busy news day. A quick update for those of you who might have joined us earlier. Breaking news here in Dane County, particularly for our WMDX listeners in Madison. According to the Mount Horeb School District, an active shooter threat has been, quote, neutralized, unquote, at the middle school. That is all we know at this hour. There was a lockdown in the Mount Horeb School District. We have no information. We don't want to speculate here. We're not even sure whether a weapon was discharged or not. We don't know any of that. All we know for sure is that the Mount Horeb School District here in Dane County put a lockdown in effect under an hour ago. And since then, the school district has reported that the active shooter threat at Mount Horeb has been neutralized. Their words. So we will wait for factual information being passed along to us. That is all we know at this hour. Joined by Trigby Olson, as per usual, on a Wednesday, talking a little bit about, speaking of facts, what happened this morning at the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus, where an encampment of pro-Palestinian protesters, there were probably a dozen or so tents at Library Mall, and probably another 50 to 75 actual protesters there. They had law enforcement from campus police and other folks move in, and after being warned by the chancellor yesterday, after other warnings, which the protest organizers confirm that they did receive and chose not to heed those, so law enforcement moved in, took down the tents, left the food, left the water, left the tables, everything else, and by and large, after watching this myself on local television for 2 hours, I can tell you that by and large, it was a peaceful situation on both sides. And just want to get accurate information out there. 855-752-4842. I have some callers. Want to get to those. Let's go, first of all, to Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark, thanks for hanging around. What say you?
Yeah, it strikes me a couple of things. I can't help but remember Scott Walker actually, when the Act 10 protest was going on, he actually said, when he got that prank phone call, actually said, well, we talked about having agent provocateurs going in there and stirring up some violence, but we decided it wouldn't look good if we got caught doing it, rather than that was just saying that was the wrong thing to do, rather than just rejecting it outright. And I can't help but wonder if it would be more productive for these students, for these protesters going on in Gaza right now to actually be raising funds for the people suffering in Gaza, and also for the people who suffered the attacks in October, the Jewish people who suffered the attacks back last October, and make awareness for their suffering as well. Mm-hmm. That because you can't hold two concepts in your head. And on a lighter note, what you're talking about yesterday, ringing the doorbell and running away.
Oh, for May baskets, yeah, as a kid.
it reminded me of in gym class. We got to gym class one day. This was in junior high school. We got into gym class one day, and our teacher, Jerry Peck, who was a former Marine drill corps instructor, mm-hmm. was just pounding us, having us do leg lifts and really putting us through the calisthenics. And he goes, if you meatheads want to know why you're doing this? Well, he had caught a couple of our classmates in that class. He'd come home, and he was watching these kids ringing his doorbell and running away. And he said, and they said, all you guys get up and sit in the bleachers there while your classmates are count the number of floors on the basketball court.
Wow, that's a punishment, right?
Oh, that's a punishment. There were a couple of guys that had to do that.
Thanks, Mark. Always appreciate the call, Mark. You're in the sack. Trigby, did you do that as a kid? The old May basket thing? You make May baskets and ring the neighbor's doorbell and leave them there?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because then, you know, you get over. When I first went to Lithuania and started moving around Eastern Europe, so it'd been like 97. Mm. you know, May Day has a completely different context there. They celebrate that.
Yeah, absolutely. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Dave in Madison. I want to make a comment on what's happening at UW-Madison in terms of the protest. Dave, thanks for calling in on WMDX. What's the...
Yeah, hey. Normally, I protested with the protesters with Act 10 about 18 or 19 times I went to the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And so normally I'd be totally, totally against, you know, clearing any protest. You know, in fact, the best thing if you're opposed to them is to not do anything probably. But mm-hmm. this case is very, very, is fundamentally different. You know, this was organized by Students for Justice in Palestine and other groups that have a history of what I'm about to describe. And what I'm about to describe is you've seen it probably on the news. You know, we have videos of people, you know, yelling death to the Jews, long live Hamas, globalize the Intifada, which is just a call to bomb Jews into oblivion. There's in terrorist attacks. There's only one solution, Intifada revolution, you know, the final solution, like the Nazis. And that's how it could be construed, and that's how a lot of people are construing it. So the Jewish students feel threatened, of course. Mm-hmm. They feel threatened, especially when you hear of some incidents of verbal and also physical forms of abuse.
Right.
You know, so they don't want to go on campus. Let me just finish. So the university acknowledges all that. They acknowledge that Jews on the Columbia campus are somewhat endangered. I'll hurry. And they say, oh, well, we'll have a dual method of accessing classes. People who feel threatened can access classes remotely. But, you know, and that's the Jews they're talking about. But, you know, you can't go to your lab and work on a project you're doing. You can't even go to, like, psychological or medical services. You can't talk, you know, with your fellow students. You don't have the same environment. You can't even talk to your professors. I mean, imagine not being able to go into the Rathskeller, for example.
Right.
And that's what they were concerned this would develop into, as it has developed in many, 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 many campuses across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So normally I'm opposed, but, you know, this is fundamentally different. You don't have the so-called separate but equal system for Jews and others.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the call. Trigby.
Yeah, I mean, his point is a fantastic one. And the truth of the matter is, I was thinking about this, like these kids, like, is their heart in the right place in terms of wanting to do something and being concerned about the plight of the Palestinians? Absolutely. Should they also be concerned about the terrorism that Hamas perpetrates and Iranian agents on Israel? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, I don't really think they're trying to help the Palestinian cause all that much. Mostly this is about them drawing attention to themselves, mm-hmm. that I care. And if they really did want to the first caller's point, they probably would be raising money for that.
Yeah. And also to your point,
that would be constructive, not whining on TV that you're not getting, quote, humanitarian aid.
And to your point earlier, Trigby, that if folks that are concerned about Palestine and the Palestinian people, the last thing that you would want or should want is a second Trump term, because just like he told Putin to do whatever the hell, quote, whatever the hell you want in Ukraine, he would do the same thing with Netanyahu in Palestine.
Well, he has actually said whatever the hell he wants to NATO countries.
Right.
Actually.
Yeah.
I mean,
Thank you. Of course. Yeah.
Of course.
855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Jean was there. She's gone. Well, Jean, you wanted to call back and talk about our event up at Eau Claire, the documentary When Rubber Hit the Road. So, Jean, if you're still listening, you want to call in, we'll take your call. Sorry about that. Trigby, I want to just point out that the Trumpster is in Wisconsin today, and I just think it's important for folks to remember that we're probably going to get, you know, 20 minutes worth of misinformation out of Trump today, and just be mindful of the truth.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. And Wisconsin is ground zero, and when you think about, you know, you had this announcement. I think RPW said they've recruited 100,000 election monitors.
Yeah, it was in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this week. Molly Beck reporting that Republicans are now,
making a big deal out of saying that they plan to recruit, quote, 100,000 people nationwide to observe election processes and voting and the expansion of typical activities, so on and so forth. And the point that I made earlier in the week, I want to get your take on this. This is exactly why I left the Republican Party in 2011. It was over voter suppression. And my take on this, this is another example of the Republican playbook, the MAGA Republican playbook, which is to put this out there that we're watching you. And then people show up in intimidating shirts and whatnot, and they're big and burly. And then they send out things to your cell phone, to on your socials. They might email you or even mailers. And it shows a person in handcuffs, and it says voter fraud is punishable by up to X number of years in prison and $5,000 or whatever in fines. And it's meant to, and they say right in the article, by the way, Trigvy, the Republicans do, that they plan, guess what they're going to focus their efforts on? Quote, Democratic population centers like Eau Claire, Madison, and Milwaukee. Your take.
Well, all right. So let's unpack this. I mean, poll watchers from each of the parties is a standard operating procedure from both political parties, and they always do that, as they should, right? Because... Mm. And so there's nothing wrong with having poll watchers. I'm not quite sure why they're trying to make such a big deal out of it. And then the idea that they're going to, you know, tilt it towards some areas over others. You know, the truth of the matter is I was back for the 2004 elections doing some work for helping out a friend of mine who was very senior in the George W. Bush campaign. Mm-hmm. And my mom was a poll watcher, and she said, hey, do you want to go to the polls and watch with me? And I was there, and there was kind of a little bit of a brouhaha because some students showed up and they didn't have the right, you know, documentation to say they lived there. Mm-hmm. And one of the other poll watchers was trying to make a big deal out of it. He didn't know my background, and so he had called some hotline, and then I get a call from somebody at the campaign like, what's going on there? Can you check into it? I'm like, I happen to be here. I think, you know, the bigger question I have is, are they going to train these people, and what are they going to train them on?
That's they claim that. But again, I think it speaks to the fact, Trigvy, that they're saying that they're going to focus on Democratic voting centers like Eau Claire, Madison, Milwaukee. Yeah. And I've seen this movie before. I was in the room for it when they tried to pass the so-called voter ID bills, and they literally, right, Mary Logic stood up and said, hey, we need to think about what this would mean for places like Milwaukee and the college campuses. It was the loudest dog whistle you could possibly have without actually saying we want to suppress the vote of black and brown folks and university types.
Yeah, and I mean the reality is that there isn't a lot of fraud in Wisconsin.
No, I mean we did our in the Schultz office. Our boss had us do our own investigation. We had a great guy, Joe Hassler Jr., who was a graduate of UW J School, who led our own investigation back in 2011. We found two cases of voter fraud at the time that were prosecuted. Yeah. One was a staffer, a Republican staffer, who voted in Madison and then up in her hometown up in northern Wisconsin, voted twice. The other was at the time the estranged wife of Speaker Robin Voss, who voted in Racine and then voted out in Idaho. That was it. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, and optical scanners are used. They know that this isn't true. I mean, there's senior people in the Republican world. People like Reince Priebus know it isn't true. But they'll go on and say it.
Right.
And that's the piece. I mean, just have some, do they have no shame? Try and do the right thing.
Yeah, exactly. And my question always is, who do the Republicans not trust? Because whenever I go to my polls, especially, you know, places like River Falls or Richland Center, we know who is going to work our polls. That's our friends and neighbors, people we go to church with, people we see at ice cream socials. Right. So who are these? Who are Republicans are committing voter fraud? Because we know our friends and neighbors.
Well, I mean, some of it is people just get hyped up, right?
Exactly.
During Act 10, I don't know if I've ever told this story on the air, but I'll tell it now since my dad's passed away. But during the Act 10, Sheila Harsdorf was recalled, as you remember.
Yes.
Is one of the people who's recalled. So there's this going to be, I happened to be back, and my parents were getting ready to go to a big rally I was in from overseas. And they're getting ready to go to this, like, support Sheila rally, and there were going to be counter protesters there. And my dad goes down to the gun safe and gets out a gun and puts it on, holsters it because he had a permit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Dad, what the hell are you doing? And he's like, well, there's going to be protesters there. I just want to be ready. And I'm like, Dad, what are you going to do? Shoot Don Richards, who teaches with Mom? Like, that's who's going to be the counter protesters. Don't be an idiot.
More with Trigby Olson on the other side. It's the All Balls Show for Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. An emergency fund is a special kind of savings you set aside for emergencies and emergencies only. Who should have one? Everybody. And why should you have one? In a word, security. Did you know that today, more than half of the adults in America, 147 million of us, can't even afford a $1,000 emergency? I recommend socking away at least $1,000 and eventually building up to 3 to 6 months of household expenses. You want to keep your emergency fund somewhere easy to access, like a savings account, and not in the stock market, thank you very much. Look, we can't avoid bad things happening, but we can work to make sure that when that never-gonna-happen-to-me thing does happen to one of us, we are as financially prepared as we can be. That's today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money help, check out Work Money Media on YouTube or text MONEY to 88285. That's MONEY to 88285. Till next time, take good care.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the All Ball Show on Civic Media. Our friend, our colleague, our ongoing contributor, Mr. Trigby Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, like myself, a former Republican, has worked on campaigns such as John McCain and for Mitch McConnell and fought authoritarianism, fascism around the world, including in Eastern Europe. Always glad to have you along, Trigby. Thank you so much again for being here. Want to get to a couple of things here before the top of the hour. One, just quickly, I know some of our other Civic Media colleagues have talked about this story in Time Magazine this week. I know you've been moving, so you've had a lot going on. It's entitled, How Far Trump Would Go. And I think one of the most disturbing things that comes out of this article, in a couple of long-form sit-down interviews with Trump, the authors say this, Trump, quote, Trump does not dismiss the possibility of political violence around the election. Quote, if we don't win, you know, it depends, unquote, he tells Time. Quote, it always depends on the fairness of the election, unquote. Trigby?
I mean, he's laying the groundwork. It's autocratic intention signaling is a real thing. You've got to believe what he's saying because... Mm. They always tell you before they do it. And, you know, I think it's pretty clear Donald Trump is not going to accept any outcome that doesn't have Donald Trump elected. And I think Donald Trump has been talking about instituting the Insurrection Act on day one. And I think if the election, obviously, if Trump wins, it's going to be because he won Wisconsin and Michigan by a few thousand votes. And, Biden will have won the national popular vote, and there's going to be, you know, we're headed for a really complicated place.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to tell you, Todd. We're headed there, but it's ultimately a choice.
Well, you've told us on some.
Have you seen the movie? Have you seen the movie about the Civil War?
Not yet. I really got to go see it. What do you think of it?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really realistic. I mean, and I say that from my experiences in other places. And even particularly the idea that you go to places where people are completely ambivalent to the violence and all the stuff's going around. They're like, well, better for me to stay out of it.
855-752-4842. Let's hop across the pond over to the UK. Jay calling in and listening in London. Jay, we always appreciate you. You have a question on how these protests may affect President Biden?
Yes, sir. Can you ask my question? I'm worried, to be honest. I'm always alarmist, but listen. Huh?
Yeah, I appreciate the question, Jay. Thank you so very much, Trigvi. How about what in your political experience here, as we look at these pro-Palestinian protests, some of them being violent, not here in Madison so far, but it's been noted that sometimes these outsiders come in and do the most destruction, right? It's not the actual protesters. Mm-hmm. But how do you think this affects the presidential race heading into November?
Well, you know, Todd, I've always kind of looked at the race, and at Lincoln Project, we look at the race as being, you know, Joe Biden's got to get himself to the 2-yard line, and then outside groups like ours can help get him across, because we can help with conservatives who are disaffected with Trump, but maybe aren't all that keen on Biden. But Biden, this is a real challenge. I mean, Joe Biden's base he's got a real problem, particularly with men under the age of 45. And, you know, it's crazy because when you ask men under 45 how they formulate their political decisions, they all talk about how they do extensive research, not all of them, but right. A lot of them. And particularly the ones who gravitate towards Trump, but also on the far left. And it's, you know, going on Google and Googling or watching TikTok videos isn't really doing research. But we've reached a point where generationally, I think there's some real challenges of not seeing the forest for the trees and believing that you have a lot of knowledge that others don't because you can go do quote unquote research. Mm-hmm. Rather than listening to people who spent a lifetime. I mean, Tom Nichols, anybody who's listening, if you haven't read the book Death of Expertise by Tom Nichols, go out and buy it now and read it.
I also think this is why we tried to spend time earlier this week talking about a lot of the things that President Biden has done, things he's gotten accomplished. I just don't think there's enough of mainstream media who is touting that because it's not sexy. It's not sexy news-wise for it to say, you know what, somebody held his tongue, worked behind the scenes, worked with the other side of the aisle, and got Ukrainian, Israeli, and Taiwan aid passed. That didn't just happen.
Well, I will tell you, it undermines some of the cornerstone things that Biden has done, the protests, because quite honestly, I think there's a lot of these Red Dawn and Dobbs Dad kind of conservatives who really aren't gung-ho on Trump, but are really uncertain about Biden. You know, student loan forgiveness, you're forgiving these idiots student loans who are spending their time protesting this stuff and demanding humanitarian aid from the cafeteria.
That's a perception of some of the critical voters. That becomes the message of Trump.
One of the rules of dealing with autocrats and their enablers, it's rule number 4, don't hand the other side battering rams with which to beat you. Don't hand those autocrats those. You know, when I wrote those rules, they were for people in places like Russia or Belarus or Burma or Venezuela, but they're equally true here. They're giving Donald Trump a battering ram with which to pummel Joe Biden.
Very quickly, coming up tonight on Civic Media at 6:30 tonight across many of our stations, La Crosse, Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, Richland Center, and Wisconsin Rapids, we will broadcast the second of 4 forums with the Wisconsin 3rd Congressional Democratic primary candidates. It'll be Rebecca Cook, State Representative Katrina Shankland, and Eric Wilson. I listened to the last one last week, Trigvi. To me, it looks like it's Cook and Shankland who are coming out the strongest here. Your takes on having these forums like this, having an opportunity to hear on the Democratic side getting ready to take on Derek Van Orten?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important, right? Like the more opportunities there are for the various candidates to present their vision and the fact that how it contrasts with Derek Van Orten is really important. Yeah. And I think, you know, there's a lot that they can talk about in terms of what's at stake. They just need to keep in mind that ultimately one of them's going to be the guy and everybody's got to rally together because beating Van Orten's the key.
Yeah, absolutely. About less than a minute left. Any favorite, 30 seconds, who's your favorite draft pick of the Packers?
Oh, Cooper, the linebacker. I think he's going to be great.
You heard it from an owner of the Green Bay Packers, Trigvi Olsen, Senior Advisor, Lincoln Project. Thank you, sir. We'll see you next week.
Yep, and I'll have all my technical issues fixed.
You're all good. We appreciate you. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is next on the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt and Air on Air.
T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Tim Sowers, who joins me to discuss upcoming events at the Overture Center in Madison. And we'll talk about Casey Kasem's bloopers. You've never heard swearing like this.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't drive high. You can run, but you can't drive high.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Listening to Mad Radio,
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.